But Fridays at 11:40 mean Roddy Nabalsi joins us from UGASports.com. Roddy, how are you?
What up, Rod?
Doing fine, guys. Doing fine. I don't know that I'm as fine as Kirby Smart is. I mean, he's had a bunch of people kind of mad at him about all the events of the week and kind of started off with the crowd noise. But I think the crowd noise is going to be kind of lights out today or tomorrow, especially when Georgia starts running the ball. That was why I picked that music there. They talk about running and running and running. And I'm like, hey, you can run on this Mississippi State team. Let's see Trevor Etienne get lathered up and Nate Frazier take the ball to the house a few times. And I think that fan base will be sideways if you actually put the ball into the end zone a few more times.
Right. Confirm it, okay? They're not wearing them ragged-ass black jerseys, are they?
No.
That's all you know. All right. Thank you.
Hey, don't hang on the black jerseys. It's a good look.
Man, them jerseys are raggedy. Damn them jerseys.
You've never got to wear them. Don't lie.
We never asked to wear them. I mean, you remember when they brought them black pants? You remember Coach Don brought them the black pants out, and we wore them in the Outback Bowl and beat the hell out of Ron Dame and them. And then remember that Florida game we went down there with them, and Florida drug our ass through the mud. Remember that? That's why we stopped wearing them.
I remember that. Well, I also remember, you know, Heidi Klum wouldn't go out with me, but I didn't blame her for it. So it's
So it was the pants. The pants that did it. One other dumb rumor of the week. We'll just get these all out of the way. We've dispelled them, but you know more than we do about this kind of stuff. Kirby's not going to take the Jets job, is he?
No, that was started by a fan site that actually is called College Football Trolls. If anybody bothered to look at the title. Who it was.
That was my exact reaction. It was like, this is a joke account, people. Like, sometimes it's hard to know what's real and what isn't, but it's not always hard to know what's real and what isn't. That certainly wasn't one of those cases. Let me ask you about that crowd noise comment that Kirby had last weekend, though. It's something I've heard people talk about for a while. It's like the game atmosphere sometimes maybe isn't what you'd want it to be. What do you think was all in that from Kirby to say something like that publicly?
When I wasn't in the stadium, we do a watch along with Coach Don and on YouTube, and we had tens of thousands of people watching along with us. But we do have some people in the stadium that text us things. And one of the texts, while I was sitting there on the couch, I was getting texts going, "This crowd is dead." And that's from people inside the stadium telling me that it was just a very, I don't call it a wine and cheese crowd, but it was very, very quiet. It didn't seem like a game against Auburn. And I get that Kirby Smart's, not happy. He wants to see illegal procedures. And mainly, here's the thing nobody's talking about. He wants to see the crowd going sideways and going nuts because he had some top recruits in town. You had Jackson Catwell, the number one offensive tackle in the nation, the number one overall player in town. And you want him to see what a Georgia-Auburn game is. But I want to take Kirby and say, hey, brother, you are 9-1 against Auburn. You have a 90% percentage of win chance against these guys. That's better than Vandy. You are the victim of your own success. People aren't going to get sideways for a homecoming game against what they see as the Northeast Louisiana Tech welding school. So it's just it's not the same Georgia Auburn game that you played in, Kirby. It's not the same one that when you first got here. Auburn was doing better. They're on their 17th coach since you got here. So it's just not going to be, and it's the problem with being a victim of your own success. 42 home win games, or 42 games in a row during the regular season, and when's the last time you lost at home to South Carolina in 2019?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry, you can't get up for every one of them.
No. Hey, Rod, what have you and Coach John seen that you can say put your finger on? This is why Georgia's starting so slow in these games.
Well, I'll go back to last week. If you guys indulge me in a rant here, Georgia had eight possessions last week. They scored on five of them. On the other two, on two of those possessions, they got really far down the field. Once they got down to the 11 from Auburn, the other one they got down to the 23. When they got down to the 23, they had to kick a field goal. The other one they got down to the 11 and had to punt. They had to punt the ball because of penalties and, you had a – score come run. What should have been a score come running right back because of a holding call. You had a 1st and 40. So it's just. Remember, we asked for Kirby Smart after that Kentucky game. We said, "Hey, Kirby, can you and Mike Bobo attack vertically? Can you go down the field? You're facing Alabama. You barely won against Kentucky. Let's see you attack them deep." they went deep right off the bat. Arian Smith drops the ball. They throw another one to Dominic Lovett, offensive pass interference. Like, well, now you're looking at third and 10, or you're looking at, you know, third and long. You're getting behind the chain. So when they get aggressive, it doesn't work. When they do what works, you know, running the ball, which they did against Auburn and Alabama, especially the second half, you get holding calls and some dumb penalties. I'm not here to defend Mike Vogel. It's lazy to say, hey, it's Mike, it's the play calling, when you can point on every drive to stupid plays, busted plays, penalties, in that Alabama game, turnovers. If you keep turning the ball over or you shoot yourselves in the foot every time, they had two sacks, that just killed them. So two of those drives.
With a three-man rush.
With a three-man rush, exactly. So I'm like, again, not here to defend Mike Bobo, but if I call a pass play and they only rush three, I expect something good. I don't expect my quarterback to get sacked. I mean, okay, they drive me hard. You might have to throw it away, Carson, at some point, or you may have to tuck and run. But you ain't going to get sacked when it's 5-on-3. And that's why they've been starting slow. And, again, last week, they had four drives in the first. They scored on the first one, two sacks on the second and third drives, and then on the fourth one they scored in 50. They had 49 seconds. They scored in 45. I mean, it was five plays, 50 yards. When they want to go fast and then no one screws up, they are very efficient and can do so. Yeah. But keep screwing up.
Exactly. It's not about defending anybody. It's about being honest about what you're seeing. And there's been big plays to be made. Like, the play call was good. That first drive against Alabama, Arian Smith's open. He makes that catch. That's an explosive play. Might be a touchdown. Same thing in the first half against Auburn. He's got to make the plays. Like, the play call's fine.
Yeah.
The ball's there. The throw's good from Carson, because people want to blame him for this stuff too. Like, if you're calling a good play and making a good throw and the guy's dropping the ball, I don't know how you blame the quarterback or the OC for that.
Go back to that. The defense too, the Alabama game, on that first drive, you got him in third and seven, and then you jump off sides. And that's third and two. Yep. That's a lot easier for Milroe to convert. You should have been off the field.
Yeah, no doubt. Riding to Balsy joins us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy every Friday at 11:40 to get ready for the Georgia Bulldogs game the next day. If there's games like this are what they are. If Georgia goes out there and does what they're supposed to do, there's not a ton to say about it. But if there's a position group, or maybe a player or two, but a position group, a unit, whatever, that you think could stand to gain a little bit of confidence, who are they, and what do you want to see from them tomorrow?
I'd like to see something from the tight ends. And I'm not just kidding to the co-host here, but I mean, you knew it was going to be tough losing Brock Bowers. But Oscar Delp has not had a huge year. Lawson Lucky's really turning the page. All I heard about was how Urosic, this kid from Stanford, was the replacement for Brock Bowers. I mean, we had the same amount of hype coming out of Georgia's camp that we did about Nate Frazier. They're like, hey, Nate Frazier can run the ball, and Ben is a monster tight end. And I ain't seen it. So I would like to see the tight end step up.
I'll never say looking past an opponent and all those different things. They're going to beat Mississippi State. I mean, it should be a problem. But we'll talk about next week. What would that mean? We were talking about fast, when Georgia starts fast, going to Austin and playing against a Texas team, Rock, because I won't be here Friday, so I won't get to ask you this question. But if they start fast, what would stop them from beating Texas if that's the case?
Nothing. If they start fast and just don't turn over the ball, they can beat Texas. Right. I mean, again, Alabama's not a bad team. They were the number one team in the nation. They never got the ball against Vandy, and they had a couple turnovers. Yeah, everything that could go wrong for them did, and they lost. I mean, Notre Dame also lost earlier in the year. Teams can lose. There's a lot more parity. But if you're going to give Alabama a 28-point lead, you know, four turnovers and a safety, and you still take the lead in the fourth quarter, that is a bloody good football team. And Georgia is a good football team. We were complaining last week about an 18-point win over a arch rival and that it wasn't good enough. Again, when I said you scored on five out of your eight drives, you go into Austin and you don't give them four turnovers and you played – you actually score some early on, which makes them have to answer instead of Georgia always having to answer. Georgia has to answer these other teams, but if you make them a little one-dimensional, they have to play catch-up. That is Kirby Smart's football. That's his complimentary football that he talks about all the time. Let me get a one or two score lead, let's make that offense on the other side a little bit more predictable, which allows me to call my defense the way I want to. And all of a sudden, it just that's when they peel away from teams. You saw it again in the Clemson game. Once you started getting ahead of them, they had to go one-dimensional. Then Georgia just poured it on, and that's what they could do at Austin. Now, if they screw up and don't score a whole lot in the first half and turn the ball over, they'll lose.
We appreciate it, Roddy.
Appreciate you, Rod.
Thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
Roddy Nabalsi there, UGASports.com.